Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Continuing with our series on the Ten Commandments, dear friends, we consider today the Fourth Commandment. Do you know what the Fourth Commandment is? In this commandment, the Lord declares, as stated in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it." So reads this holy law of God. God says that each week again we must keep distinguished from all the other days, a day that is sanctified, set apart, and consecrated in special rest and worship and service before Him. Oh, how we should agree with a certain study Bible note on this commandment, and I quote, "A God who is concerned enough to provide a day each week for us to rest is indeed wonderful." Do you have the same conviction? Does your use of the Lord's Day also reflect this? Let us think about God's holy Fourth Commandment and living by it still. The purpose of the sermon is to urge and encourage holy and happy obedience also to the Fourth Commandment, considering something of the rule, the reinforcement, the requirements, and the riches of this holy law of God. The rule, the reinforcement, the requirements, and the riches of this holy law of God. The Fourth Commandment is much challenged and repudiated today, not just in the world, but also in the church often, alas. All too many confessing Christians are teaching that the Fourth Commandment is the one of the ten that is in fact no more valid in our New Testament age. But should we not revisit that notion, considering the following details, even just with the wording of this Fourth Commandment? One detail that surely is not without meaning by itself even, is the fact that the Fourth Commandment, as given both in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, is the longest of all among the ten. God goes into detail and is quite specific and elaborates on this law above all the others. Is it not good to ask, are we not to learn something just from this fact? Like, clearly, God is very intent upon and passionate about this holy law of His. Isn't it telling even that the one law God spends extra time on and words on is the one all too often especially questioned and resisted today, and by all too many simply disregarded in our times? Notice next, with considering the rule of this law, how it begins. How does it begin, this Fourth Commandment? "Remember," says the Lord, "remember to keep the Sabbath day holy." Remember, that's the first word saying and teaching, don't forget this now. Indeed, be sure always to keep this before you as a matter of principle and policy and practice. Don't fail in this matter to keep the Sabbath day holy. All the commandments begin with words speaking against our natural tendency as people born in sin, which explains why 8 of the 10 commandments begin with the word "not" in the Hebrew. "Not shall you have any other gods before me," says the Lord. "Not shall you kill," etc. And in the Fourth Commandment, the Lord says, "Remember," or you could say, "Not shall you forget this, do you hear? To keep the Sabbath day holy, special, set apart, sacred." Oh, shouldn't this very first word of the Fourth Commandment help make you and me see its importance and its ongoing relevance? "Remember, don't let this slip away from you," the Lord says. Some people mistakenly teach that the Fourth Commandment doesn't have to be obeyed anymore, since Christ has come and fulfilled this law, and all the law. And often in this context, Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17 are quoted, where Paul writes, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body or substance is Christ." However, dear friends, quoting these verses as if they reinforce the nullifying of the fourth commandment is incorrect. A careful reading of that passage will show, rather, what Paul speaks against in these verses is the insistence of keeping the Old Testament ceremonial rituals of Sabbath keeping, especially as the Pharisees had developed that and were insisting on keeping them as something essential to being truly saved. We need to realize while the Old Testament Sabbath laws had also ceremonial and civil aspects, yet basically it is part of God's moral law for all mankind, something ordained and modeled by God already even when God created the world. The false teachers in Paul's day were also insisting on all the ceremonial and civil details of the Old Testament Sabbaths. And this distortion of the Pharisees is what Paul was opposing. There were those in the church and city of Colossae who were not teaching salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, but salvation by our works and our following just the rules and rituals of God and men. Against this same error in Colossae and along the same line, Paul laments in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, where he says, "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of or for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain," he says. But again, we're saying that Paul is not teaching thereby, dear friends, that now we don't need to keep the fourth commandment anymore, as if Christ's finished work nullified remembering the Lord's Day to keep it holy. No, the fourth commandment too is meant to be such a blessing for us in God's ways. And now with Christ and His finished work, there's all the more reason even to rest in Him and to worship and praise Him and to have one special day a week set apart for that in a concentrated way. All the evidence in the New Testament is that Christians, healthy, holy Christians, kept the Sabbath day holy still. That is, distinct and sacred from all the other days of the week. Only now in the New Testament times, beginning at Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost, it was not the seventh day of the week they hallowed anymore, but the first day of the week, the day Jesus arose, and the day the Holy Spirit was poured out. Everything in the New Testament church shows always continuity with the Old Testament, while at the same time, real advancement too. Jesus came, as He Himself says in Matthew 5, verse 17, not to destroy or abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And to fulfill it both for His people and in and by His people. This is something we will come back to later in a moment. But continuing with the rule of this fourth commandment, notice how the law reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That is, to keep it separate and special in purpose of praise and service to God. The Sabbath is to be, by God's design, a day set apart from the other days of the week for concentrated worship and devotion to God triune, and for His honor and for His glory and service. The Sabbath is to be for God's people a day not of a different focus than the other 6 days of the week, but of more concentrated focus on the Lord and all His glory and beauty and salvation and what we are to be about in and through Him. We are commanded on the Sabbath not to be doing our regular work and daily schedule of the other days, but to devote this day in commemoration and concentration and celebration of God triune and all He is and all He has done and still does as Savior God. And we are to glory in His gospel and to be with His people and to be focused on His church and kingdom. It is good to notice here, the fourth commandment as given in Exodus 20 especially highlights God as Creator God, while in Deuteronomy 5, what is highlighted is God as the great liberator or deliverer from the bondage of Egypt. The motivation for Sabbath keeping and the delight thereof, dear friends, is in view of both thinking of God as the God of our creation and of Him as the God of our salvation too. What reasons to be especially devoted to this God and to have one day in seven in concentrated focus and worship before Him, to His praise, to His glory, and to learn from His word. Oh, how that can so help us in all of life's direction and attitude and goal. The Lord in the fourth commandment is very clear what is His rule for us. His rule is He wants us to keep the Sabbath day as a day of rest and worship, a day set apart from all our weekly work and ways. Only works of mercy and of necessity are to be continued on the Sabbath day. But otherwise, we should avoid and keep from all jobs that require Sunday work. Admittedly, this is becoming an increasingly difficult matter, a great challenge in our times. More and more, our secular and post-Christian society no longer sees the Lord's Day as a special day of rest. Sadly and ironically too, our modern world forgets that the whole idea of the weekends off is on account really of Christian influence of the past, and the whole weekly pattern of a day of rest as God ordained it from the beginning and as taught in the Holy Bible. God's rule with the fourth commandment about keeping the Sabbath day holy and not working is for the express purpose that He may be honored and worshipped and praised, and that His people may be instructed and strengthened and blessed in His ways of grace and truth, and that it may be well with us, body and soul, both in the present and for the endless future too. It is to man's own detriment whenever anyone decides not to keep the Sabbath day holy and in special worship and praise to God. Jesus says in Mark 2, verse 27 and 28, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." With these words, Jesus implies, the Sabbath as God intended was always meant all for our well-being. And He as Son of Man and Savior would keep it so, and make it all the more clearly so, through His saving work on sinners' behalf. The theme for this sermon is God's holy fourth commandment, and living by it still. And just looking at the rule of this law, as we have so far, is there not every reason still to follow and live by this holy law of God? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To see this more yet, let us now go to our second main point and consider not just the rule itself, but the reinforcements concerning this rule that God gives. God reinforces the Sabbath law in different ways. In the reading of the commandment itself, God reinforces the fourth commandment with strong reasons for keeping the Sabbath. The fourth commandment in Exodus 20 mentions especially resting on the Sabbath in view of God Himself having rested on the seventh day after 6 days of creating the universe. We are to keep the Sabbath day holy and not work, for Exodus 20, 11 and 12 state, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The same commandment in Deuteronomy 5 mentions especially resting on the Sabbath day in view of God's work of deliverance and liberation from the bondage of Egypt. As we read in Deuteronomy 5 verse 15, after the call to rest from all work on the Sabbath, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee thence or from there through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." You see, from this we learn the Old Testament Sabbath was calling for special rest and devotion to God as the God of our creation and as the God of our salvation, deliverer from bondage and sin. Well, in and with Christ Jesus, dear friends, God makes Himself known to us in His fullness as not only the God of our creation, but also our recreation and the God of our complete salvation from all sin and evil and death and hell, and indeed the God of our eternal redemption. How much more reason then, in view of Christ, to keep the fourth commandment today still, especially as a commemoration and celebration of our God and His saving works in and through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Recreator and our Almighty Liberator from sin, Satan, death and hell. Indeed, and here also we can think of still other reinforcements of God, reinforcements that God gives concerning this holy law. Reading through the Old Testament, it is clear the fourth commandment had a special function. This commandment reveals whether or not there is a true attachment and trust and devotion to God in your life and my life, yes or no. The Sabbath and keeping of it was and is given by God and seen by Him as a sign of the relationship with Him. This is most clearly expressed in Exodus 31, in verses 16 and 17, where the Lord says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." We show, dear friends, our heart devotion to God, or lack thereof, in relation to remembering the fourth commandment, to keep it, yes or no. God describes His law as such a gauge and sign or indicator of our relationship with Him. It's like a thermometer reading, you might say, of our enjoyment and walk with the Lord, or lack thereof. Well, what would be your thermometer reading in reference to the fourth commandment, in relationship to God, dear friends? Still another reinforcement of the fourth commandment we find in how the Lord, for 40 years in the wilderness journey of the Israelites, gave them manna from heaven 6 days a week. On the sixth day, the Bible tells us, a double portion was given every week again, so that on the Sabbath, Israel could and would rest in the Lord and His gracious provision for them, for body and soul. Yet another reinforcement of the Sabbath day, and keeping it still today, is surely how we read of Jesus keeping the Sabbath when He was here on earth. We can read in Luke 4, verse 16, about Jesus, "As His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Do you hear that? "As His custom was." Meaning Jesus remembered the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, particularly in special worship and service to God and for the furtherance of His gospel cause. How many miracles of Jesus He did on the Sabbath. And later, after His resurrection, how much Jesus honored the first day of the week, which became also the Christian Sabbath, the New Testament day of rest, in honor of Christ, the triumphant and only Savior from all sin and evil. Jesus arose on a Sunday, and He showed Himself 5 times the first Sunday He arose. And then the next week again, He showed Himself. Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, and Revelation 1, verse 10 also surely prove, in the history of the early church, the New Testament festive day of rest and worship was changed from Saturday to Sunday. Why was it changed? In view of Christ's finished and glorious saving work on sinners' behalf. We serve a risen Savior, and we may begin the week in worship and praise, and be guided in the way of how to live to His honor and glory all the other days of the week. We may begin each week again, now always looking ahead to a bright and glorious future through faith in Christ and His finished saving work on behalf of sinners, and following His word. There are plenty other passages to mention reinforcing the importance of keeping the Sabbath day as a day of rest and worship. But let me give you just the word spoken in Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. In that passage, which is a prophecy also in regards to the promised Messiah, when Christ would come, listen to what's said about keeping the Sabbath day holy. We read in those two verses, Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." You see here, dear friends, God promises such delighting in the Lord and blessings from Him, even as we seek diligently to keep the Sabbath day holy, worshipping the Lord and listening to His word and fellowshipping with His people. Keeping His commandments are meant so much, each one and all of them, for our temporal and eternal good. Yes, also the fourth commandment. When saved by grace through faith in Christ the Savior, you discover there's no reason to view God's 10 commandments negatively, and there's every reason to view them positively. Have you learned this by God's grace too, dear friends? The Apostle John writes in 1 John 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. and His commandments are not grievous. Resisting and disobeying God's commandments, also this fourth commandment, and maybe especially this one, dear friends, shows every time our sinful resistance and our natural disinclination to know and enjoy God and wholly to depend on Him and wholly to be devoted to Him. It shows our sins and sinfulness. Most certainly, when you love God much, you'll never complain about this command to keep the Sabbath day holy. But you will treasure and cherish it very much. And you will look forward to every Lord's Day again with special longing and anticipation. However, if you don't love God or are lukewarm before Him, how this commandment can seem like such a burden then. And you can have all kinds of fruitless discussions about what you may do and may not do on the Lord's Day. But then you fail to grasp that the law is not so much about do's and don'ts as about our heartbeat for God, yes or no. Does your heart throb for God and His gospel? Can you too not have enough of hearing of and learning from and feasting on God triune and His word as revealed in the blessed and only gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior? Is it not very correct to say, as one put it, and I quote, all true Sabbath keeping begins by our actively resting in God alone for our salvation. Without actively focusing on Christ and living in dependence on Him, there just is no true Sabbath keeping. End of quote. I ask, dear friends, are you actively and continually looking to Christ and resting in Him and serving Him as your only Savior and Lord? That is surely key and most essential to keeping the Sabbath day holy. So far, in connection with the fourth commandment now, about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we have thought about respecting this law of God and some reinforcements God gives to this fourth commandment, emphasizing its importance today still, surely. But now let us ask, what are the requirements for keeping the Sabbath day? That is, what are some of the duties called for by God here to His people? From Scripture we surely learn, with true Sabbath keeping, what is of primary importance is that you and I uphold and support the gospel ministry as a top priority. Not just on the Lord's days, but in the whole of our life. And not just for ourselves, but for many others as well, even around the globe. How important to grasp this broad scope on keeping the Sabbath day. It's about glorying in God's Word and seeking to spread that Word. It doesn't just have reference to what you and I do in the Lord's days, but on what our priorities are in all our life, every day again. Have you too, dear friends, become convicted that the one thing most important, more important than anything, is that people hear and know and believe and follow the gospel of Jesus Christ? When this is the case, then clearly the Christian worship services in faithful Bible and gospel preaching churches is something so important and good in connection with the fourth commandment. It's something you treasure. To hear the gospel and to be led in the gospel way week by week in Christian worship is such a privilege and blessing. It's the means of the Holy Spirit working also to save sinners. The psalmist says in Psalm 84, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Is such your testimony too, dear friends? Or is it so that you don't go to church? Or hardly so? And if you do, that then from your posture or conversation could it be, even before church and after church, you show really you find worship more like a necessary evil, or almost like sitting in a dentist chair rather than such a highlight for you, and something you just, by all means, never want to miss if at all possible. What impressions do you give God and others about the Lord and about church and about one day in seven especially being devoted for His praise and honor? I say again, God's people grow to love the Lord's Day, and their lives revolve around it, really, for each Sunday again they feast on Christ and His gospel word, and they are given holy, eternal perspective on life's brief, earthly pilgrimage here and now. Indeed, here we can say, really, truly keeping the Lord's Day is all about looking to the Lord in all your life, to turn from sin, and always and again to look to the Lord and be led in His ways, and to live to His praise, and to seek to be a light for Him in this dark world of sin and rebellion against God. living by the fourth commandment too, it means ultimately to live always in preparation and anticipation for the world to come. This is a Christian perspective on life, truly, to live our whole life in preparation and anticipation of all God's word and promise as revealed in Christ Jesus and made known to us in the Bible, and to live in all things for God's honor and for our neighbor's good. As Dr. J. Piper put it in his excellent book entitled The Lord's Day, I quote, "The Sabbath," he said, "is a beautiful park designed by God for your and my spiritual well-being. It is a day of spiritual recreation, a market day of the soul, a weekly holiday and holy day for God's people. Approach it," he says, "as you would approach a special family outing or that special vacation, so that you may discover the treasure of the day. Use it as God ordained for His honor and your well-being." End of quote. The Lord graciously calls and lovingly commands you and myself so to keep also the fourth commandment. Will you do so too, dear friends? Or will you go on despising and breaking also this holy law of God? God's holy fourth commandment, and living by it still, considering its rule, its reinforcements, its requirements, and its riches. Yes, its riches too. I won't expand on this last point much, for really the whole sermon has been about that all throughout. Let me only say, I encourage you to discover the riches of Christian Sabbath keeping for yourself further. May I just remind you, as another encouragement, how it was when the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation 1, that is while he was remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that then also the whole book of Revelation was shown to him by the Lord. And oh, how he was blessed, and what a blessing he became also in and through that, not only at that time in his life, but even for generations following till our very present day. I tell you, dear friends, you will never miss out on anything worthwhile keeping the Sabbath day holy. But you will surely miss out on everything worthwhile neglecting and refusing to do so. The fourth commandment is calling out to all truly and steadfastly to come unto Jesus, and He will give you rest, rest for body and soul, weekly rest, and then eternal rest, all for Jesus' sake alone. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thus saith the Lord. Do you hear? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.